Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia, PA, the man who really knows what happened to Tupac and Biggie, I present to you the one and only Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast.
I'm here. Stop the press. I'm back. Here we are. Welcome to the Mr. National Podcast. I am the Foth.
The Foth.
A.K.A. Mr. Dashiell. The artist formerly known as the Pretty Boy. But Father Tom has did a number on that. That moniker is dead and gone.
Pretty Boy?
That Timberland song, homie's dead and gone. Yeah, that homie Pretty Boy is dead and gone. Thanks for joining us with the Mr. National Podcast. The man on the other side of the mic, baddest artist, one of my favorites. He likes and fans of other artists. He's too modest, folks. He's too modest. P Double, how are you today?
I'm living life. Living
your best life. Hey, I just took my vitamins. I am pumped. We got a big show. Yeah. I hope you guys, this is going to be called, this title, the Heinz Ketchup Show.
The K-E-T-C-H-U-P, Ketchup.
There you go. The Ketchup Show, because we are so behind. We apologize. What was that song from Rakim, Eric B. and Rakim? I'm sorry I kept you. Mm. Yeah, somebody had to know that.
No dope beat to step two.
Yeah. There you go. That's it. So we got a lot of catching up.
Where did I spend my days? In the playground?
Yeah, you the baddest white man I know. That man got soul. All right, he got soul.
Right. He got soul. That's what I kept telling everybody.
I lob these little one liners at him, and he's finishing them up for me. And they like rap songs, old school. None of that new
stuff. Yeah, I can't stand the new mumble rap. I watched a video of MC Hammer, like a recent concert of MC Hammer.
Uh-huh.
And I was telling my wife, like, what a great dancer he was and everything. And I was trying to show him. And I found a video of him doing, like, a concert just, like, a few months ago. And he was doing his rap different. He was doing it like they do it now.
Oh.
You know, where they kind of sing it. You know, instead of, like, Hammer.
Yeah.
And he was kind of doing, like, you know. I don't know. I can't.
A great dancer. Remember our thing on the website, the best dancers. MC Hammer. I think he made like the final four or something like that.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
he said of course. I mean, we had Bobby Brown. Yep. I think that the final was Michael Jackson and James Brown. I think Michael Jackson won it.
Yeah,
the greatest dancer.
Actually, I like watching. If you look up just James Brown, like. You know, a lot of people, I mean, when I first was exposed to James Brown, it was like Rocky Four or whatever.
Coming to America.
And he was kind of old and fat, you know. But when he was younger,
the dude could get down.
Yeah.
He's a bad man.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson's idol.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely. He was great, man. He was just cool, you know. Look up some of those little videos if you get a chance.
Yeah, folks, if you out there, you want to see, even though most of us and our old head group, they know James Brown from back in the day. The old videos. YouTube is awesome. You can see anything.
Right. You know, I was exchanging Ricardo Riley had posted something about, he's a good Facebook friend to have, man. he's good on Facebook, but, he was posting something about the Temptations, what a great song one of their songs was.
Right.
And I was remembering back, and I'm like, I don't know when I started to like the Temptations. And then I never got to comment on it, but I remembered. I heard that song, Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
And all he left was alone.
Yeah. And I was a kid, and I was like, this is the funkiest shit I've ever heard, you know. I need to hear more of this. And so I like... I got a greatest hits tape or what of the Temptations, and they became like one of my favorite groups of ever, you know. So it was, yeah.
That's where the soul was born in you, right there.
I don't know where it came from.
Well, look, I'm fired up. Look, we got a lot catching up. No more mumble jumble. I just took my vitamins. Okay, folks, yeah, vitamins work. Come home from work, it feels sluggish. It felt like I always needed a little nap, like a nap. I just couldn't function at my body. And for some reason, I guess, God emailed me. God emailed me, okay? So it was like this survey.
Did he send you a friend request?
Yeah. It wasn't a friend. He emailed me. He emailed Mr. National. It was like this survey thing. It was like take the survey, and it was like ask you guys like do you exercise, do you do this, do you feel sluggish, do you have aching joints, do you have this? It was like a series, a bunch, you know, yes, no, two times to this, you know, two times a week, three times, all these questions. So at the end of the thing, it came up with these, and then the last thing they asked you were, do you feel more comfortable taking one pill for everything or multiple pills or vitamins? And I had multiple. So at the end of the survey, it took some time. The wheel was circling and everything. And they spit out about six vitamins that would, that based on my answers, would help me. Like fish oil, B plus or B something, ashwagandha, magnesium, calcium, all these different pills, all these different vitamins, and the kicker
was.
Have
you noticed your breasts getting larger?
Yeah, my breasts in my ass. My breasts in my ass getting larger. But their thing was like, you know, you get the vitamins through them. You know, it's like on a monthly type of deal.
More expensive.
So I just took the names of the medicines, that the vitamins that they wanted me to take, and just went to the CVS and vitamin store and got them myself. Right. Okay. And I tell you, they do work, people. So
really? So how long has it been since you?
2 months.
And you're starting to notice already?
I was noticing after 10 days.
Nice.
My energy level went up.
Nice.
I mean, your urine looks like freaking...
Right, it's like gold.
Yellow. Yeah, it's like...
Like you just ate that, a whole giant plate of asparagus.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that changes. And then for a while, you taking dumps like crazy. Like,
really?
Yeah. Oh. Get some... Yeah, that changed too. What do they call it? Bowel movements or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That will change with the vitamins, okay?
But that's all good stuff. I mean, that's what you need.
Make sure you get some baby wipes, because you're gonna have a sore ass from wiping so much. I hate to be graphic on the show, but hey.
Well,
be confident in your own skin.
Yeah, yeah, and you know you got to take care of yourself because you're worth it. You know, invest in yourself.
Right. There you go. That's a good statement. That takes us right into this next segment of investing in yourself. Miles Garrett did not invest in himself. Okay. He lost.
Let's start. We have a long list because it's been a little bit. Yeah. We got to go all the way back to the, I mean, it seems like that was a while ago, but it was only a few weeks ago.
I mean,
that
I know
was
people
a big
probably,
event. That was a big
it
event
was.
In the NFL.
Hey, P-Double, people are over it, but we got to rehash it because they haven't heard our point of view on the Mr. National podcast, okay? So it was crazy, okay? Yeah. It was nuts. When I saw it, I didn't see it live. The game was over. I turned it off, and then in the morning, you see all this stuff.
Yeah, right,
and this
all the news. Actually, I tuned in. I caught it. I had fallen asleep, and I think I was just more or less getting up to go to bed. Mm-hmm. And I woke up in time to see that, you know, that mayhem.
I wouldn't have been able to go back to sleep after
that. Yeah, it was just like, what is going on?
The memes were outrageous, man, after that.
It was really a flash in the pan, because you haven't heard much about it since. But for a few days, that was just all over the place. Yeah, because it was crazy. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like
now,
that.
Now, I don't know. He blacked out. They said Pouncey said he blacked out. He was kicking him. Mm-hmm. What I thought was, and they had posts on the stack when that show about it back mm-hmm. then. You know, what did you think the suspensions should be? Right. And I was in agreement with everything, but I thought Randolph should have got suspended too. He right. initiated the whole thing.
Right, right.
He kept coming at the dude.
Right. Yeah.
If Miles had swung the helmet the other way, it might have. Quite a bit of body on the ground. He swung hard, but he had it flipped over.
Right.
Somebody was trying to put his helmet back on. That was funny. That was funny. So,
but I mean, rip a guy's helmet off and hit him over the head with it.
It was
that
right.
was savage.
Well, he kicked
just
him.
Just savage.
Mason kicked him in the nuts.
Yeah.
Tried ripping his helmet off.
Yeah.
Then when Miles took his helmet off, and it was over. The teammates had him controlled. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then he ran up around him to come at him again. He's like, get the hell away from me.
I mean, my wife and I were watching it, and we were kind of horrified, you know. But let me just say that, like, I played football in high school. That's it. I wasn't even that good, you know.
No, you
just from that experience, though, I know how – I have an idea of, like, to every single play, if you're out on the field – and you're trying to play football, every
right.
single play, every time you get out there, you have to be ready to, like, just try to kill somebody.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the game.
Or be killed.
Right. You got to get so keyed up and so, like, just, like, you want to destroy something. And then turn that on for 3-4 seconds, you know, and then the play's over. And then you're
right.
supposed to be a good sportsman, you know. These guys, they didn't surprise me that the guy did that. You know, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Well, right.
you
well,
know,
yeah,
I'm not saying that it was okay, but
no,
I understand.
It wasn't okay.
I understand. I mean, the guy,
all that stuff to you. That guy
right.
kicked, started ripping your helmet off, you rip his,
and you're already keyed up. You know, you're like on like fight or flight.
He had two Steelers holding him back, and
yeah,
he don't
right.
come around again.
Yeah,
he gets no suspension. He gets beat up
the whole town. Miles Garrett was just going to beat up the whole town.
Man, but after that, those Steeler players did a number on him. They did a number. They got him on the ground, man. Pouncey was kicking him and dropping Dusty Rose elbows on him. It was crazy. It was a circus.
Yeah, it was mayhem.
It was the most craziest thing next to the malice in the palace.
Yeah.
When Ron Artest went into
right.
the stands.
Right.
That was the craziest. I mean, now, soccer has stuff like that all
right,
the time.
Right, they want to kill
soccer,
the referees.
The fans, they kill each other, okay?
Right.
I'm not talking about I'm talking American sports.
Right.
The malice in the palace and what Miles Garrett did was like the two craziest things I ever saw,
yeah.
and that's our point of view on it.
How about
you know?
Where does the Tyson biting Holyfield's ear off stagger come into that one?
That was pretty crazy. But he bit him. Yeah, that was pretty wild. He took a chunk. The fact that it stayed on it like a grip. You know, you see stuff. You talk about Holyfield had another one when he fought Riddick Bowe.
The parachute dude
came yeah. into the ring, and the guys had the walkie-talkie beating the crap out of him.
Do not mess around in a boxing match, man.
That was more crazier than the Mike Tyson. But that parachute guy going into that ring and getting the shit beat out of him was not like, what the hell? That, Riddick Bowe's pregnant wife passed out. She's banging. They had to stop the fight. They had to warm him up. It was nuts.
That was crazy.
That would be number three, probably, to be Riddick Bowe. Tyson might be 5 or 6. I might go find some other stuff.
Yeah.
There
was one where the Celtics and Atlanta Hawks got in a big, giant fight. Danny Ainge bit Tree Rollins' finger.
Do you
remember that one?
I don't remember. I remember Doc and Bird choking.
Yeah.
Okay. How about the one when Rudy Tonovich got his whole face broken by that player? Rudy Tonovich is the coach of the Houston Rockets back when they won their titles.
Oh,
Okay. But when he played, it was a brawl. You gotta Google that.
Oh, I don't know about that one.
I can't think of the guy's name. It was a rumble, and the guy's standing there. Rudy runs up just to be a peacemaker.
Right.
And the guy turns around and clocks him.
Oh, man.
I mean, breaks his whole eye socket and cheekbone.
Crushed.
He never plays again. Like, wow. His career's over. And not only did it ruin Rudy's career, the other player became, like, blackballed.
Never,
I don't think he ever really played again.
Wow.
Google that one. So that one was crazy, too. That was probably in the 70s.
There's a good video of some dude goes up and elbows Kareem in the like the stomach or the rib.
And oh, Kareem, he stopped. Kinda, yeah.
And Kareem kind of. I don't think it was Lambeer. I think it was like somebody like Kent Benson or some nobody like that.
Right.
And then he, you know, Kareem kind of bunches over like he's hurt.
And
then he comes out and he just, like he's going to play, and he turns around and he just socks him right in the eye.
That's
man.
Right.
Wow.
Hey, that was the NBA back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you didn't mess around.
Yeah, you throw punches now, it's over, okay? So like I said, that's me and P-Double's take on the Mason Rudolph. Randolph, is it Rudolph or Randolph?
Rudolph.
Myles Garrett.
Rudolph.
But talking about sports announcers, and we're kind of like sports announcers ourselves.
Right. Yeah. When you come here to get your offbeat news,
yeah, offbeat. Like we're not. I mean, what's the difference? Okay, those guys use fancier words, obviously, than me. You know,
I don't know, man.
So, and the fact that they have a little bit more access, I guess, to the story, but with the internet, you can get whatever information you need to get. So why do they make...
Yeah, let's go to one of my favorite shows, is Skip and Shannon.
I really don't like neither one of them too
much.
You
don't? I like Shannon.
Shannon's okay.
He's Skip, entertaining to watch. Yeah, I don't like Skip. I don't like him. But he's good because he's across from Shannon.
Right.
You know.
Right. I just can't listen to shit. I talk about my voice. I mean, Shannon Sharp, I mean, he's gotten better over time, but.
Oh, yeah,
he's
yeah.
Talked like
well,
he
yeah, he's not, really not a real elegant speaker, you know. But,
no.
But,
he spits the truth, though. I get on that.
Yes, yes.
And this
is like.
But
anyway, why is that show better than our show? Why is that show better than your Mr. National podcast? Is it just because. I mean.
Because they got backing.
You come to this show to get every man's viewpoint on sports, right?
We are the true fans
right.
of sports.
I mean, look at Skip. Skip never had to, you know, get up and go to a job.
No.
Not Skip, I mean Shannon. Shannon, look at him.
He's like
Superman.
Absolutely. The guy's probably...
I mean, I know he didn't come from money or anything, but he had to work hard to do what he did.
Yes.
But he played football for a living, and now he does a show. You and I, we had to get up and go to school, had to get up and go to work. You know what I mean?
Called genetics, man, and that bloodline. His brother, as good as a football player as Shannon Stark was, or
his brother was better.
His brother was better than him.
Yeah.
Sterling Sharp. That dude was like on the level of Jerry Rice, dude, when he played. He was a complete monster.
What did he play? He only played for like 7-8 years, though, right?
Something like that. He hurt his neck. Cut his
brutal sport.
It is. I mean,
but anyway.
So the sports announcers, Stephen A., I mean, you gotta love him. You gotta love him or hate him. You know, love him or leave. That dude is so
I like Stephen A. Maybe myself, but I can understand if you don't like him.
Yeah, you know, he's cool. He comes from Philly.
He's a Philly guy. Yeah, so I remember Philly when Iverson was playing.
Yes, that's how he made his bones.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That's how he cut his bones. But the newer guys, they okay. I'm more old school. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the Berman, Tom Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Keith Overman back in the ESPN. Those were my guys. The old sport.
Stuart Scott was great. How do you think Gronk is doing?
I haven't seen much. I don't think that's his cup of tea, being the announcer. I don't really think so either. They got to find something else. I like what they're doing with Peyton Manning, those Peyton Places type of thing.
Yeah, that's cool, yep.
Now they need to find something like with Gronk.
Yeah, because Gronk.
For nightclubs or parties, you know, I think they should take him to the cities and like, hey, this is a great party to have you coming. Because a guy like myself who likes to travel to see my 49ers, mm-hmm. I want to know where the nice spots is at. And right. Gronk's, I don't know, they can have something with Gronk doing that. Right. But a straight announcer, not there.
Right.
You know, Troy a natural. Tony Romo's a natural.
Tony Romo's is great.
Yes, he is.
He could be the best rookie of the year announcer in the history. Like, he just hit it.
I like Howie Long. I mean, they're different. Romo is a game guy, you know.
Sure.
Howie and some of these other guys are like back at the studio. So,
right.
I think Boomer Esiason did both. Mm-hmm. I think he started doing the games, but I think he does better being in the office or wherever they want to call it.
Yeah, back in the studio in New York.
Studio with JB.
One of my favorites actually is, believe it or not, is Bradshaw. When he does his halftime, like 30-second like rundown of what's going on around the league. He gets going really fast and covers all the
time. That's amazing how they get all that. Yeah. It's like a minute or whatever the thing is. Yeah. Hoover used to do it too.
Yeah.
Chris Berman. So that is crazy. It's funny how when they get to, I don't know if it's a certain age or a certain point, they get shipped out.
Yeah.
You know, they took Shannon out and brought in Tony Gonzalez, I think. You know, we got rid of one tight end for another one.
Yeah. They think they need to fill out the roster like they're in on the field. We got to have the quarterback, the tight end.
Those dudes thought it was rough in playing. You know, when you get into your 30s and stuff, they looking to replace you. they get in the booth and think, oh, I can do this forever. Like, wrong answer.
Speaking of that, what about Philip? No, I'm talking about Chris Carter.
Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
About that. What did happen? Didn't he want more money?
I don't know if he wanted more money or he just wanted more FaceTime. I mean, like, why was he not out there with Gronk? And, you know, they put Gronk out there.
Because he ain't that kind of guy. You ain't Gronk.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, I think that's what he was going for.
I think he overvalued. You know what you just said? You said something about investing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He invested in himself and lost.
It wasn't worth the investment. You aren't all that, Chris.
You ain't all that, CC. You know what I mean? You thought you were more valuable. There's a saying, know your worth, stay in your lane. He did. He broke both those rules, okay?
Right.
He thought his worth was more, and they got rid of him. So, I mean, hey. He'll probably get on somewhere again, but
I liked watching his stuff. You know, I thought he had a lot of good things to say.
Yeah, he was okay. I mean, nothing really stood out. I like Bradshaw. Bradshaw is just so funny and just so raw.
He loves it. I mean, he's old, but he's been
he
there
is old.
Because he's just fired up all the time. I mean, that guy's insane.
He is. I like Bradshaw. I like, of course, Michael Strahan. That's a guy that just reinvented himself. I mean, he is just straight up awesome.
He's all over the place.
I mean, Dan Marino got fired too. I mean, a lot of guys up there, you see them and they're going.
I cannot stand Troy Aikman as an announcer. Obviously, he's one of my favorite players. Yeah, he's too boring, man. Like, dude.
He's drunk.
He's Captain Obvious.
He's dry, and I think Troy is starting to feel like he's not getting the respect or something, because he always kind of interjects what he did or his stuff or his stories.
He's starting to like try to kind of flame throw some things, you know, like trying to say controversial things.
Yeah, throwing shade the last
10 years or however long he's been doing it. He hasn't hardly said anything about anything. He's just like, well, these guys are out here playing some football.
Right.
No shit,
Captain Obvious. Yeah, I mean, one time he talked about the guy's dad or something. He was my backup, and I didn't even know the guy. Like, right. Like, hey, I mean, what are you talking about? You know, I don't want to hear that. Keep it to the game.
Anyway. So,
yeah, replacing was Phillip Rivers. Remember that rough stretch Phillip Rivers had?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, Phillip. I mean, he didn't write it the ship. Three Hall of Fame quarterbacks, P-double. Three Hall of Fame out of that same draft class.
Aikman's?
No, with Phillip Rivers.
Oh, Phillip Rivers? No, I can't. I mean, he's been around a while.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Okay.
Eli Manning.
Okay.
And Ben Roethlisberger. All came out the same draft.
Wow, that's a good run. That's a good pick.
The other two have
good crop.
Two Super Bowl trophies. Phillip doesn't have neither.
Right.
But
arguably, out of those three, Rivers is the best pure quarterback.
Absolutely. I agree.
But
talking about moving on to another quarterback, we're going to keep it moving.
Okay.
Folks, this is the Mr. National Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We are calling this the Heinz Ketchup Show. Well, we can't use Heinz. They didn't sponsor us. They didn't give us no backing.
But do you use? I mean, I got a big bottle of it in my fridge, so I say we can use it. You know,
I do too. This is the Heinz Ketchup Show.
I mean, is there
talking
any other
about
kind?
One quarterback? Yeah, right. It is store brands. What did the Wile E. Coyote use? The Acme brand.
You know what Acme brand ketchup. Brand. All right.
What? We're gonna throw it back to another thing that just electrified the sports world and had everybody talking, Colin Kaepernick's supposedly workout.
A big much ado about nothing.
P-Double just wrapped it up right there. I don't think he really wanted to play or was thinking he would get back. And I think the NFL was just trying to cover their ass and just throw out there just like, here you go. I just thought the whole thing was a waste of time.
Because
at this point,
I did too. This is a divisive issue about his taking a knee and all that junk, right?
I
always have supported Colin Kaepernick on that issue. I mean, I see where he's coming from. I think the NFL has a big issue that, you know, they have a lot of owners, and just the culture of that league is
white
and it's racist,
yeah,
you know? And,
right.
And one of the things I love about the fact that Lamar Jackson, I don't care what color you are, if you can play, you should be able to play. That's the great thing about sports.
Yes.
It's supposed to be merit-based. But one of the great things about Lamar Jackson doing so great this year is that maybe this will give the NFL the idea that maybe they shouldn't care either about what color, you know, what color the quarterback is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
let a guy play. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Anyway.
Trying to change him. Right. But, I mean, it has changed. Back in the day,
it has.
In 15 years, Lamar Jackson wouldn't even have got a shot at
quarterback.
It would say you would be a wide receiver.
Right.
A running back. Okay, right. So that changed. That's okay. But it's a bigger issue. And you don't have enough black head coaches. You don't have enough black GMs. You don't have enough black owners. It's just that's where it gets. It's at the top. You know what I mean?
They're about to
throw you little crumbs,
right,
and they expect the black community to be like, okay, we're happy now.
We got Lamar Jackson.
You got to think of the big picture.
Right.
Where's a black owner, a black gentleman? You need more of that, okay?
Right,
you need more at the top.
So I think Colin Kaepernick's situation, he kind of exposed that. And, you know, that wasn't what he was trying to do, I don't think, at all. But I think he kind of exposed that.
Hey, good. He did.
You know, that, to me, is a good thing.
Trump, your boy Trump rode that whole thing right into, like, popularity. Because, like you say, it was such a divisive thing.
Yeah.
And Trump.
Colin Kaepernick got Trump elected.
Yeah.
You didn't mean to do that, did you, Colin?
Right.
Anyway, now, 3 years later, does Colin Kaepernick want to play, or does he want to still be, you know, Malcolm X or whatever?
Got,
you know,
the money. Is he? It's 32 teams in the league. 32 times 2, to my estimation, is 64.
Right.
Is there 64 quarterbacks better than Colin Kaepernick? No.
You've seen some of them start
yes.
in the league that are not, you know.
Could he be on the roster? Yes. But when you take all the baggage, all the stuff that's going to come with it, is it really that much? No. That's why he doesn't have a job, because it's not that you think that he's that good that he's going to make that much of a dramatic change with your team.
Right.
Versus all the controversy and all the hoopla that comes with it. You just stay away from it.
Yeah.
And that's my take on it. I think he's good to play, but I don't really think he wanted to play. And the NFL was just covering their ass because they were exposed.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith pretty much said the same thing we're saying, except in his colorful language.
Yeah.
But a lot of people defended him. You know, defended Colin Kaepernick. I know Terrell Owens was on there, you know.
Yes.
And I don't know. I just, from my point of view, I don't see it. I mean, if you want to play, get in there and play. He could be on a team right now. He could be playing on a team right now. You know, maybe even compete for a playoff spot.
Right.
And he's not, because he's got some other things on his mind. You know.
Hey, he got other stuff. He, I don't think
I wanted to see him play.
You did.
I mean, I don't, man. Right. Some of these quarterbacks, name some of these like no name quarterbacks that are playing.
Oh yeah, I can't. Yeah, you don't even know their names. Like I said, starting, it's 32 teams, 32 starting quarterbacks.
Steelers quarterback. I don't even know
he
who
played
that
pretty
is.
Good. The new guy's playing pretty good.
But he's a third string quarterback, man.
I know. Right? I know.
I give that one to Mike Tomlin. Great job, Mike Tomlin. I thought the Steelers were going to suck this year. I was hoping they would. You know?
some people are saying he should be coach of the year. Not. Yeah. It's Kyle Shanahan. Dude, who would have thought the Niners would be where they're at?
Man. Look, okay. I was thinking about this. Every week in the picks, you pick San Francisco, I pick Dallas. That's just a given. You know what I mean?
You're right.
Look at their records. I'm only four games behind you, which is a lot. Okay?
Right.
But the difference between the 49ers and the Cowboys can make up that four games right there. You know, I thought the 49ers were going to win maybe 7-8 games this year.
Right.
Right?
I was around nine. I was around nine.
They already passed you. They got 10-2, right?
Yeah, I think that's where they're at, 11-2 or 10-2.
Yeah.
Four games left. Yeah, 11-2. 10-2. I think that's where they're
at. No, they're 11-2. Whatever they are, you know, there's only two or three games left.
Right.
So
and the funny thing is, I thought they were going to lose to Seattle, but I wasn't going to pick them.
No, you're not going to pick them. No, just like I'm not going to pick, you know, I'm not going to pick Buffalo to beat Dallas in Dallas. Jeez, man.
Oh my God, that was the worst.
Yeah.
Right there, that game right there got your boy fired.
Yeah.
He's done after this year.
Yeah,
the
he's
Clapper.
Done.
There's
no way.
He's done.
The only thing that could save him, what if they make the playoffs with like a losing record and then go to the Super Bowl?
Whoa. Oh, he's the guy. Then you fucking build a statue of him. But he's not. He's not going to happen.
They'll be lucky to win the next, you know, they'll be lucky to win.
I don't know what he's looking at out there on the field. He just makes bets.
He's just not prepared. I mean, Prescott looks like he's like a freaking head case, you know. He needs to see his therapist. And
both of them, you know what they be doing? B-double?
Hmm.
You know what they be doing? Dak and Jason Garrett?
Hmm.
They be illing.
Just looking at the
You're blind. And you can't see. You need to wear sunglasses like DMC.
Good segue.
Yo, run DMC, baby.
Legend. Mr. National living his best life.
My best life.
Give us the rundown, man. That was like six concerts ago.
Dude, I was in Atlantic City. That was in Atlantic City.
Atlantic City, huh?
Yeah. Man. Which is like an hour and 50. That's Baby Vegas. If you ever come out this way, you got to stop.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm going to do one, like a win a Mr. National weekend.
Oh, man. That's it. Come out on a Friday or something.
Yeah.
Take you to the Daly's Pub.
Yeah.
Go to Delilah's. I'll take you on a run. I'll let you take you to Cigar Lounge. I do it up.
I'll be coming back a new man.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to age 10 years.
You would age at least 5, but you have some swag. Your wife would notice.
All right, so you went to the Run DMC concert. What did I say when I found out you went to the Run DMC concert?
What did you say? I don't even remember.
DMC, I know the Reverend Run's been kicking it this whole time, but DMC was in the comic books or something.
Oh, yeah, that's what you said. Dude, DMC is shredded. Yeah. He is in shape, okay? Yeah. Run looked like the rest of us.
He's got
he's got the grandpa body, okay? He had the family on the stage, but they put on a great show. They had Jam Master Jay's son come on in and do a scratching segment.
Really?
His son is grown now.
Mm-hmm.
It was just awesome. You know, I got the fresh shell top Adidas. I got a Adidas sweatsuit. The only thing I had my leather blazer on, my black leather blazer. That was the whole place. The whole place, the whole arena was Adidas up. It looked like an Adidas convention.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. Adidas.
They had the fat gold chain. Some people, they had the glasses. Some people had the hat. I wanted to get the hat. I didn't have time to get the hat. So
wow,
it was just a great concert. And being an AC, it's like I say, a lot of drinks, a lot of places to go party and hang out. The show was awesome. They started off with Can You Rock It Like This?
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended it with Christmas in Hollis, Queens.
Wow.
And everything in between was dope. was dope.
Wow, that was that's great, cool, man.
Okay?
That's cool.
So that was, I don't even remember when that was. Can't even remember. Everything's like a blur.
Yeah, at least a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, then we had the Buckeye Brawl. Now remember, the Buckeye Brawl, that's electric football, folks. That's what you guys should know. That's what brought me and P-Double together.
Right.
Is the game, the greatest board game of all time, electric football. Every year in Ohio, in Canton, they have the Buckeye Brawl tournament. Coaches from all across the country. Detroit, Philadelphia, Ohio, Kentucky, Los Angeles, Texas, you name it. They converge.
Sometimes we get people from Paris.
Oh, France. Yeah. France. Billy Campbell. Billy C. Yeah. By way of Philadelphia. Yeah.
Right.
So, I remember the brawl happened right after the Mason Rudolph thing.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. That, and then, because we were all talking about that at the brawl. And, the great thing about the brawl is, one of our good buddies and coaches, John Martin, runs a hotel where everybody stays at and where the championship is played. But John Martin uses all his connects, gets us in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So we were playing the first.
That's the first tournament, first electric football tournament I went to. It was the Buckeye Brawl a few years ago, and that's where I met you.
Yeah.
And and just to play electric football in the Pro Football Hall of Fame was surreal. And
that it was crazy.
Just, yeah, that was just awesome.
I mean, the place opens up at 9. We were in there at 8. We were in there a little before 8 setting up. And then at 9, then we go walk around. So right. Even before the tournament, I wasn't planning the tournament. I'm just walking around. They just opened up a black college football part.
Oh, okay.
They got Doug Williams and Walter Payton. It's like a whole nother section of guys from black colleges.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Shannon Sharp was in there, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was there, the store. It's just so much history in that place. Letters. I have letters written by, like, George Halas.
Wow.
It's just amazing. Contracts.
Really?
I mean, it is really detailed. I mean, you can just go through the bus room, you know, all the little heads are at, and see that. That's one. But they actually have artifacts and, like stuff.
Yeah, you
back
spend,
when it was formed, like
you
the AI.
So much time there. I mean, when I went through, I just kind of breezed through it fast and didn't get a chance to really take it all in.
You gotta come back and take it in. I've been there a few times, so I mean, it's just amazing. Like, how can they keep a contract signed? Yeah. By, I mean, guys, it was like in the the 1920s or whatever. It's like stuff there, letters written. These guys are trying to organize this thing and get games. Yeah. It's amazing stuff in here. And that's where the Buckeye Brawlers played. And the Round Robin play, that's there Saturday. And then Sunday, by Sunday come around, it's just the championship. And that's back at the hotel.
Okay.
And the championship game was Ken Allen versus Charles Lane. And Charles Lane defeated him and got the gold ball.
Yeah.
And now he's in the final.
Charles, it just, you know, from watching broadcasts and things, seems like Charles has really come on strong in the last year.
He's always been strong.
He's always been strong.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of them guys where he's clutch. You know, some guys don't, some guys get nervous. You just never see him nervous.
Wow.
And if the game is tied, if the game is tied and there's no time on the clock, Charles just scored, he's going for two. He doesn't play for overtime. That's Charles Lane. He's going for two, okay? He's going for the win, and that's how he plays. And like I said, it was a big turnout. We had our boys, Gridiron Buzz Network were there.
Right.
Dustin and Raj.
Arcade Games.
And them. Richard was there. Mm-hmm. I took a picture with him. We were just calling him media. That's what he called. He said, I'm media. I said, come here, media. Let's take a picture. Media.
Nice.
What was I going to say? I can't even remember. I guess my vitamin ain't kicking. I got a vitamin I take for memory, too.
Guess
it ain't kicking yet. I was going to say something, but I forgot.
Damn, I hate that.
I hate to be that, too. More. But we ain't got time to try to remember. We're going to keep this catch-up show going. Talking about, well, not electric football, real football. There's more trip. Another Mr. National trip to NOLA.
Nolens.
Had me some gumbo.
Oh, yeah.
Not a lot. I got a small taste, a little small bowl. I say I got to eat it.
Yeah.
Got to try it out. But
good.
Had a lot of hurricanes. That's their drink.
Yeah.
The hand grenade, that was another one, a frozen one.
Uh-huh.
Had that. It's a little plastic grenade thing. And a Sazerac, which is like a high-end type of, just a bunch of whiskey. It's strong, but it's good. I'm going to see if Daly's will make me a Sazerac next time I'm in here.
You ended up at the Superdome for the game of the century, right?
Who would have thought?
Well, I mean, it was built.
Who would have thought? I mean, you would have thought the defense.
It lived up to the hype.
It did. I was just so glad that we didn't get blown out. I mean, I thought we could win it, but it was like in the dome. And let me tell you, the dome is the loudest stadium I have ever been in.
Really?
The fans are just so loud when your team, the opposite team, has the ball.
Yeah.
And that whole thing holding the helmet, that's real. I can understand. I'm up in the stands and I can't hear. And it.
Everything is going down to that field.
It's amazing. Amazing.
The score was 48-46. Apparently, yes. I heard him say that was the first time ever in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, that their score was 48-46.
Ever. Amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, that was
a game. What a game. I mean, it was insane.
It was back and forth. Drew Brees finished with like a completion percentage of like 75%. You couldn't stop this dude.
Yeah.
You had to hope they drop it or something. He is magical.
Yeah,
okay?
He's a great
guy. That
gotta
be 5'11" or however.
That's what I can't get over is how well he plays and being so short. I mean, you know, short for a
quarterback.
Quarterback.
Yeah, he might be about 6 feet. I've never met. I'm 6 feet and I've seen him stand and be around people that I have, like athletes, and he's shorter than them.
Right.
Okay. So
he,
I don't think he's 6 feet. If he is, I mean, I don't see it.
Because like we talked about earlier, I mean, maybe that's before the show, but as a quarterback, you need to be able to see over the line, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But
you got to move. He can move in the pocket.
He's got one of the best all-time pocket presence.
Pocket presence.
He's not super fast.
He's not like 6'5", where you could just see over your lineman. Your lineman is 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", 6'6".
Big giant guy.
Big giant man. These guys are staying, getting stood up and they're blocking. And he gets the ball out. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's a combination of Peyton, the head coach, calling and dialing up these plays and Drew Brees executing them.
Right.
You know, it's both of them together. They are awesome together.
Hmm.
Behind Belichick and Brady, they're like number two. Right.
Yeah. I mean, no question.
They are awesome. But shout out to my Niners, the Niner Empire.
Jimmy G had a great
Jimmy
game.
The tight end, Kittle.
Yeah.
But I just want to give the fans, my Niner Empire fan, there were over 2,500 49er fans in the dome at the game.
That's great. So you go travel to these 49er games and you meet up with these 49er fans, like they got a fan club or something? How does that work?
It's just like groups of people, you know, you change people numbers and they'll tell you, text me like, yo, we're going in this gate. They're having a meet and greet Friday night. If you're coming out Friday night, it's a meet and greet. They'll take over a bar somewhere.
Wow.
You know,
that's super cool.
Like a local Niner fan.
Right.
Get a bar. Hey, I'm having, and we all meet there, and we're just all having a good time. Then we tailgate before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And the big thing is how they just march. From the tailgate, it's like a nice march. Everybody leaves together.
Yeah.
And it's like 1,000 fans walking into the arena.
Right.
So that's like the thing. We got to march in, you know, the Empire. Like 300. So that's how I met a lot of people. And like I say, it's always a good time.
Right now, what jersey is everybody wearing when they go to a Niners game?
The females are wearing Jimmy G.
Right.
Yeah, Jimmy G, he's the pretty boy right now. So.
Yeah, he is.
these girls with their dreams of getting with Jimmy G. I don't know. You better get your porno game up because Jimmy like the porno actresses. So the girls like Jimmy G. You see a lot of Jimmy G, and you're starting to see a lot of Bosa.
Okay.
Bosa and Kittle.
I went to the Lions game when they played the Bears on Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
And guess what most of the Bears fans were wearing? Guess what jersey do you think they were wearing?
Damn, I don't.
It wasn't
a current player?
Yeah, Mac. It was Khalil Mack.
Yeah, it was no other choice. I was going to say Urlacher, but I was like, Khalil Mack is probably better than Urlacher.
Right.
I would think you would see Khalil Mack or Walter Payton. I have dozens of 49er jerseys, but my go-to is my Jerry Rice jersey.
Right.
Which was so elegantly and perfectly drawn up by Mr. P-Double for like the Stack with Nat show artwork that he did.
Yeah.
He got me with a cigar and a Jerry Rice jersey, so... That was pretty cool because that's the one I wear the most. I'll also wear a Randy Moss jersey, which was 84 when he played with us.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that number is being worn by Kendrick Bourne.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in New Orleans, the guy said, "Oh man, what's that, Kendrick Bourne?" I'm like, hell no.
That's Randy Moss, man.
That's his boss, dude.
No, didn't Bourne catch the game, one of the touchdowns in that game?
Yes, he did. Yeah, he did. I mean, dude, it was just going back and forth. I'm just in this game part. And they scored a touchdown, and the Saints had to go for two. They were trailing by one. Now, if they get the two, then we need a field goal just to tie the game.
Okay.
Defense stands up. Stop them. So now we got under a minute, I think. I forget how much time it was. But now a field goal will win it. They hold us to 4th and 2. And the place is going nuts. I'm like, oh, my God, my stomach. I feel like I was on a roller coaster. And Jimmy G hits George Kittle.
Yeah.
And he breaks away from the one tackle, and he's running up the sidelines. I was on the sideline. I was on the opposite sideline. Mm-hmm. So he's running away from me and starts running up the field. And you just see these two Saint guys, and he's just pushing them.
They're like pulling on his face mask.
One guy jumps on his back, and we're like, and he's still going. We're like, I'm going crazy.
Oh, my God.
I think I filmed it. I think I was
filmed
something.
That play was awesome, man.
It was like a flag. I'm like, oh, fuck, they got to call it back. Like, what's the flag? And somebody said, it's a face mask. Then you look up on the screen, And you just see this dude just tugging.
Kittle was running like with guys. It was like they were like, just like, you know, bugs on him or something.
Right. It looked like the rhino, like old Spider-Man. Spider-Man trying to be on a rhinoceros. And he's just up there like, look like Miles Garrett yanking off Mason's helmet.
He was trying to rip his helmet off of his
helmet. Helmet off. And then another guy jumped on his back like a little kid. He was pulling him too. It was kind of reminiscent of Mark Bavaro. Mm-hmm. Then to the Niners one year. Mark Bavaro carried Rocky Lott.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was like that. Like, it was nuts. So now we're at the 15 to 10 yard line.
Yeah.
And I'm with this Niner fan.
Because the penalty too made
Yeah, he got tackled. He got tackled at the 30 or the 27, then 15 yards on top of that.
Right.
We were right there. The guy was like, no, we should try to score. I was like, hell no.
Kick the field.
Line this thing up. Make sure all the clock is going. Because you don't want to give Breeze a second.
Yeah.
Okay? This dude was white hot, now all game.
Right.
If it was 1 second he had one play, I think he would have beat us. That's how hot this dude was. I said, run this clock out, Kyle Shanahan. Don't you do no Atlanta in the Super Bowl bullshit with us again.
Right, blow this game.
Got it. And that's what they did. They did a couple handoffs. And then the last play, I think Jimmy G just knelt down and got to the spot where Robbie Gould won it.
Mm-hmm.
Kicked the field goal. Bananas.
The Chargers played that week? I think they lost to Denver. And I think Denver had one play left like that, and they threw it down the field and got a pass interference call.
And then kicked
the game-winning field goal. They had, everybody was like, just play for overtime,
just play for overtime.
And the crazy end of the game.
How about that Dolphins play? That Dolphins coach was mad. They called a pass interference on the Dolphins guy, and then that gave the team a chance to kick the field goal to beat the Dolphins.
Yeah.
The coach was so mad.
I forget his name.
It was funny. He was heated. Remember Bill Cowher with the Steelers? One of the games, he stuffed a letter. Remember back in the day, he used to have the printouts.
Uh-huh.
The ref made a call. You could Google this one, Pete. But Bill Cowher goes up to the ref and has the picture of something that he was saying in a circle.
He
stuck it in his thing. They find him.
But I'll tell you, the New Orleans, the San Francisco game, there was no, that play by Kittle, that was just a great play. And there was no, refs screwing up or anything.
No.
It was just the end of the game was just great football.
I'll go back to one play where the Saints had the ball and they had the punt.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that guy, that number seven guy, I can't think of his name. He does all their plays. He's a quarterback. The running back, wide receiver. For the Saints?
Yeah.
Number seven.
I always want to say Bridgewater, but it's not.
It's not Bridgewater.
Yeah, I know. It's the other guy. Yeah, the quarterback. Yeah. Anyway, so I know who you're talking about.
He's like a utility man. Yes. Slash from Pittsburgh. Cordell Stewart. So he takes the snap on a punt. And then he looks one way, looks to his left, and then turns to his right and throws a bomb. Mm-hmm. Down to the guy that was running down there.
Okay.
But our Niners dude, he was a gunner. And our Niners guy was engaged with him.
Okay.
Never looked back for the ball.
Got pass interference.
Just kept pushing him and chucked him right out of bounds. The ball hits the Niner guy in the back of the helmet.
Saints
fans like, oh, pass interference. They're going, that's pass interference. Everybody's going nuts. I'm like, damn, dude. But the call was not pass interference.
Okay.
Saints fans, what the fuck? They were going off. How can that not be? Because, Saints got a problem. Saints fans got a problem with refs,
Pass
PI calls. So they were going bonkers. The ref comes out, something about the rule. Since it was a fake punt, there is no pass interference because that guy is a gunner.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's blocking him. So if you fake a punt,
mm-hmm.
And you throw it to – it is no pass interference.
Really? I didn't know that rule.
By rule – that's what I said. By rule, during a punt, there is no pass interference because the guy is supposed to be blocked.
Wow.
Sean Payton was going – 2,500 49ers. Yeah. Like, you know, he was like, take that, Saints, take that. It was crazy.
Oh, what a game. It was like, what a trip.
I mean, yeah. It was amazing. Good food, good eating. The people were very polite, you know.
Yeah.
Who that? You got all that, who that? Yeah, but yeah. they were nice. So it was great. So, like you say, living your best life. Me and P Double say love life, okay?
Yep, yep.
Too many things to stress you out. So you gotta take them.
Take some time. Chances.
Take some time. Invest in yourself, okay? Yep. You can't take it with you, and that's my motto. I feel sorry for my friend. I hope nobody looking for nothing when I die. It's just gonna be some bills.
Hey, my thing is, you know, you work hard all week or whatever, you know, whatever the case is. You work hard to you know, put food on your table. What do you do that for?
Yeah.
You know, take some time and enrich yourself.
You know what I mean? Non-stop.
Enrich yourself, not with money, but with, you know, with life.
Memories. With living. Yeah. Memories.
Whether that be with your family or whether it be with, you know, football or pets.
2019 has just been awesome. It started in January with a 13-day cruise.
Yeah.
And then it hasn't stopped.
You know, we need to get like a documentary crew to follow you around for 2020.
Let's
stop. Well, you can be like the Kardashians, make a reality show.
I give you a sneak peek, January 5th or somewhere around there. I got to look at the calendar. 2020, I go back on the cruise again, Royal Caribbean, another 12-day. So right. 2020 is starting off like that. And I'm
we got to get the socials in line.
Yeah. Dude, 2019, is, like I said, was crazy. You know, started with that cruise, then that little birthday in July when I was at the MFCA tournament.
Yeah.
Then went to Vegas, saw Janet Jackson. Then went to Ohio for Ty Law's private Hall of Fame party. It was just...
Yeah, that was a run. That was an epic run right there.
That was the epic run. I mean, even the Hulk Jim Davis called me. I was in Vegas. Because he had just saw me I forget where the MFCA thing was in July. Oh, Richmond. I think it was in Richmond.
Yeah, Richmond.
Yeah, and the Hulk was like, you in Vegas? I'm like, yeah. He's like, boy, that's my guy right there. He's like, you are national. I was like, I'm trying, Joe. I'm trying. The Hulk called me. So, you know what I mean? When the Hulk called you and you get a text from Raj Fisher, said, man, you doing it up. You know you're doing something right, okay? Man, I am done, P-Double. That was the show. I think, I don't know if I can talk anymore.
We're going to call that a show. I mean, that was fantastic. I can take the
headphones on. I got to check my blood pressure. I was just fired up just reliving it all.
Yeah. You got out there, you did it, and then we had to relive it.
And had to relive it. It was like almost as fun as being there. And I didn't think we could do it, folks. P-Dub was like, I said, we should break it up and do it. No, we just going to run it. That's why he's the producer. That's why he's P-Double. He said, do it. I didn't think we could do it.
Made it all the way through the list. Well done, sir. Well done. Good game.
I mean, this guy has
Mr.
more
National
confidence.
On three.
He has more confidence than me.
Man, I believe in you.
That's crazy. And they don't even know about the new surprises and stuff.
Yeah, we got big stuff coming up for 2020. But listen, I believe in you. You just got to keep talking.
Keep talking. I'm gonna leave everybody. If anybody's still listening to Mr. National Podcast, I'm gonna leave you with one story talking about talking.
Mm-hmm.
When I was born, my mom said I wouldn't say nothing, wouldn't talk. Mm-hmm. I was 5.5 years old. She took me to doctors. She told me. Everybody said
this sounds made up. Come on.
I'm telling you, I was 5 and never said a word. I wouldn't talk.
You've been making up for it ever since.
I was like, what? They was like, you wouldn't say that. You would just say, my mom's sister, my Aunt Sherry, would come over. And they said I used to call her Dun. Dun. So when I saw her, so the only word, I didn't say mom, I didn't say dad. Mm-hmm. I would see her and say Dun. My mom said she took me to a psychiatrist as a kid, a couple doctors. doctors looked me over like, ain't nothing really wrong with him. He's fine. Mm-hmm. He just ain't got nothing to talk about. So I'm like 5.5, and then I go on, I think my cousin, one of my older cousins, takes me to the zoo.
Okay.
Okay. And I do remember seeing, and I used to like all the animals as a kid. I always was into animals. So I go to the zoo, and when they brought me back, and I come in, my mom take off my coat and stuff. She said, you know, my jacket, and she said, Mom, I saw the lions, and I started naming all these animals. And she said, she gripped me up. I'm like, what? What you say it again? I said, what you see? What did you see? And I'm like, she said, you was like, I saw the lions and I saw the monkeys, and we went in. She said, oh my God, he can talk. She said, ran up to my dad. He can talk. She put my coat on, drove me over to her parents, my grandparents. She said she made like 3 or 4 trips. Wow. To all the family, yeah, and was calling people. And she took me to all these people's houses like,
this makes Corey, sense to me though. This makes sense to me.
Tell them what you saw.
This makes sense to me because like you didn't have anything to say, right? It's like, man, take me to the zoo or something so I could have something to do. And you've been doing it ever since. Like, man, you gotta go to the game, you gotta go to the concert, you gotta go to the club, you know what I mean? Got to go to the tournament.
You say it makes sense, right?
Right, yeah, because I need something to talk about.
I need something to talk about, right?
It all makes sense.
That's a true story.
Wow, that's
pretty
cool.
Mr. National never spoke a word till he was almost 6 years old.
Wow.
And my mom thought I was like, something was wrong with me.
Right.
Can't say the R word. Almost said it. You can't say the R word.
Yeah, somebody said that and got like, got cut.
Janoris Jenkins.
Got cut. Oh man!
I saw the R word. I'm like, what is that? Racist? Like, what?
I had to look in the. I clicked on the link so I could figure out what the R word was because I was like, running back. What?
Right. What did he say? I'm like, what? That's crazy. Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess I don't know. Crazy.
Right, but apparently like, Mason Rudolph used the N word and he's still playing.
Yeah. He's... Nobody even cared. Well, we didn't hear it. We didn't see it. It's crazy.
It's different times.
It is.
That was a great show. That was a great show.
Right. I had to leave everybody with that little tidbit. That's true fact. Everybody at the Super Bowl knows that Electric Football, or NFL Super Bowl, Mom National cooks all the food. When she's there, you guys can go ask her. When did Corey start talking? Because he hasn't shut up yet. And folks, that is a podcast, Kick Kitchen. Take us home, baby.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Mr. National and the Mr. National Podcast. Now that didn't hurt, did it? Check out this and other podcasts at www.stackwitnational.com.